Good morning. Lord of lords, King of kings, and he's coming back. Do you trust him? Do you? This probably, to me, this is my honest belief that this week for your church is one of the biggest moments in Herman Baptist's history. Because what I've found out as I've filled this pulpit as you needed it was that although this is a small church and you're without a pastor, the Spirit of God is alive and well here. The size of your church means nothing about what God can use you to do. And I believe that. I'm not just telling you that. But I want you to just think about that for a minute, that you have the Spirit of God here. But it's going to require something of you for God to use anybody that stands in this pulpit faithfully every week. We talked about giving last week, about how we give not just of our monies, but of ourselves to God. Remember Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, that you present your bodies. Remember, that's a body that God has chosen to indwell with his Holy Spirit. I beseech you therefore, brethren, that you present your bodies. In other words, he's saying, my body, because you are not your own. You are bought with a price. Present to me what is mine, and it's your reasonable act of worship. You better pray this week. You better, I'm asking you as Herman Baptist Church to pray that God would be glorified in the years to come in this church. And I pray that the next time, I mean, I know I'm probably going to be here a couple times in July, between you know, whatever God has to do with that, we'll do that. And I hope, that someday I have an opportunity to come back here and preach a revival or do something for you. And I see this gymnasium filled up, or when I drive by on the road, I see construction signs or groundbreaking or whatever it may be, because I believe that that's very possible here. I don't think there's anything that should make you and I believe that God could not do that here in this place. There's enough people in this neighborhood, and it's growing in this area. It's one of the fastest growing. Waxhaw is one of the fastest growing areas around. You know, as we've looked at the beginnings of the early church, and I hope you've continued to read in the book of Acts, and I hope you will continue to do that, because if your next pastor is going to have the support he needs, you need to know what it is that God wants you to do. Because remember, it doesn't matter who comes and stands here. It doesn't. I mean, in the end, it doesn't matter. You could have Billy Graham to come back from the dead and stand here in this pulpit, and if the Spirit of God is not in charge here at this church, it makes no difference. So, you know, as we've looked at the early church, we saw this total transformation of the disciples as they began to do one thing. They began to believe what God had said. That was the difference. See, they had heard the words of Jesus for 3.5 years. But it was not until God gave them the Holy Spirit and they began to actually have faith in what God had said that we see the church begins to grow. So on the day of Pentecost, God began to use the disciples to do his work, his way, through the power of the Holy Spirit. But what I hope you have noticed as we've been walking through this is that God pretty much just does everything. See, for a church to thrive and to grow, it's not on the backs of your effort. Now, God's going to use your effort, but your effort will not grow this church. Only God can do that. Because the only way that a church can truly grow in the sense, in the biblical sense, is for there to be believers added daily to this church. You are the vessel that God has chosen to use that, to use to do that. But it is God that does it. And don't you ever forget it. Because your pastor, your next pastor, God is calling him to stand here to teach you His Word. And to teach you how to be a vessel. And how to be the vessel that God wants you to be. I've just had a few, I was sitting there last night and I was praying and I was just thinking, I hope that God, something that I've said to you, that God has used me to say to you over this past year or so, I hope it helps. And I hope, you know, that I've done something to prepare you for, because I believe that's what God had for me here. I believe what God had for me to do here was to help to prepare you, not just to help you prepare as individuals to learn how to worship God and how to submit to God and how to surrender to God and how to, you know, some of those things. I mean, God just has given me this little thing, and I was sort of looking through the sermons that I've preached here, and I would challenge you, maybe if you have time, to go back and listen to a couple of those. On the website, not because it's me, but because I believe that God has been using that to get you to where you are now, and then to take the next step of having a full-time pastor. Because I mean, it doesn't matter how good or bad somebody is that comes in and just fills the pulpit. You listen, I'm not your pastor. You need somebody who is here daily, who can pray for over your families, who can come, you know, whenever somebody's sick or somebody die. You need that leadership. That leadership is something that you have to have as a church. You will never grow without it. But anyway, so what is our part in all this? Excuse me. It's simply to believe Him. And you're going to hear me say that over and over and over again this morning. Listen, think about David for a second. David was the most unlikely of people when he went out to the battlefield where his brothers were, wasn't he? He was just a boy. He was just a young man. And yet he heard something that he knew was wrong. How did he know what he was hearing from Goliath was wrong? Because he knew what the Word of God was. He knew God, and he knew who God was, and he'd been taught, and he had worshiped God out in the fields where nobody was watching. And so then when he hears something like this, when he sees an opportunity to be used by God, he never gives any thought to his size. Everybody else is thinking about his size. And I want you to sort of relate this to your church. Forget, don't worry, it doesn't matter. Just think about what it is that God has put in front of you. God has surrounded you with lost people. And just like Goliath was an abomination to God, and that's what David said, how dare this guy blaspheme God, the name of the living God? Your giant is lost people in this community who blaspheme the name of God. And so, just think about what David did. He just believed God. He just believed, because that's what he said. He said, I don't need armor. I don't need all that stuff, because the same God who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the mouth of the bear, or vice versa, I got it backward, mouth of the lion and paw of the bear, he said, He'll do the same now. He just believed God. There's no rationalization of it. He had no reason, I mean, rationally, physically speaking, to think that he could go and do that, and neither do you as a church. Now, you know, right at this moment right now, when I talk about groundbreaking and building new buildings, that's hard to see right now, right? I mean, that's hard to think about. But as long as there's lost people and God is still working, then churches should grow, and this church will grow. If you believe God for it, just like David did, I mean, God will do what He said He would do. Jesus said in John 6:29, this is the work of God, listen to this, that you believe in Him who He has sent. Let's pray. God, I thank You for this opportunity. And I thank You for the opportunity that I've had here. And God, you know I don't take it lightly. Lord, you know that this has been a rough week for me. Not a rough week, but it's just been a busy week. And it's been a busy weekend. And God, I just pray that you would use me in spite of me. Lord, I don't, as I say always, Lord, you know that I don't have, it's not in me to do what you can do. It's in your word and it's in the words that you've given me. And God, I pray that you would hide me behind the cross, that I would be completely surrendered to you this morning. I pray that you'd cleanse me and help me to preach your word to these people. God, I pray that something that we said this morning would help us to believe you more in the days to come. And I pray, God, that this church, I pray your hand would be on it. I pray, God, that they would trust you fully and that they would follow you. And God, that they would always remember, help this church, just like every church, to remember that it is not a man that stands in the pulpit that they follow. It's you. And although you've chosen pastors as vessels, God, it is the church's duty to follow you individually before they follow you corporately. God, I pray that you would use me today, you would use your word, and that something that would be said today would help this church to take a step forward in faith and to do your work your way. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. After the resurrection, do you realize that God did not change his mind? What I mean by that is, you know, God didn't, it's not like the crucifixion was an afterthought and the resurrection was an afterthought and it was God's band-aid on the problem of humanity. Remember that the crucifixion happened in the mind of God before creation. The solution was there. It was there already. So at Pentecost, whenever God chose to indwell men and women with the Holy Spirit instead of just coming and going as the Spirit did in the Old Testament, it was not God changing his mind, it was God changing his methods. And that's something to keep in mind with your church. As a new pastor comes in, he will have different methods than your last pastor did, right? He's going to have different ways of doing things. Will he be right all the time? No. You're not responsible for that. He's responsible to God for that. Will he be wrong all the time? No. Does he need you to follow him? Yes. As he follows God, he needs you to follow him. But God doesn't change his mind. God's word never changes. God's plan never changes. But God does change his methods. And if you don't believe that, open your Bible and start reading. God uses different people in different ways throughout the ages, and he will continue to do that. Be sensitive to the Spirit of God as you gain a new pastor and as he brings in some things that are different, as he suggests things. There's one rule. Make sure it's biblical. Second rule, make sure that it falls into that category that all peoples may know him. And if those two things are covered, you get behind him and you do it with everything you have. And let God lead him and let God lead you through him. See, God didn't change his method. He changed his method by implanting into people his spirit. And all that he asked of them was to trust him absolutely. And that's the change we see in the book of Acts. And I'm gonna remind you of that over and over. The change was when they believed it. And here's a side note, ladies. This is no knock on you men, but this is a side note for the ladies of this church. Who first believed in the resurrection? Who started it? Mary. God used women. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus, and a couple other women who went and ran back to the disciples and told them. And what did the men say? No way. Men, that's a challenge to us, that when women in the church suggest to trust Jesus, let's do it. Women have clear roles in the church, and that's not my job. Your pastor will talk to you about that, and I know you already know that. But women, God has given you the ability to trust easier than men do. Keep that in mind, ladies. Although the leadership roles in the church are primarily for men from the pulpit and from, you know, from a public perspective, the backbone of a church, and the backbone of the church throughout the ages, from the very beginning, has been women. Doesn't excuse men. Actually, forces us as men to step up. It should. But don't ever forget that you can be the difference in this church as you trust God and believe God and just keep telling them. Just keep saying it. Just keep saying it over and over. You trust God. I had a lady years ago who came to me and she said, I've got a prayer request for you. And she said, I know God's probably not going to answer this prayer, but I want you to pray for me. And you know what I said to her? Don't bother praying the prayer. Got to trust God. See, when the disciples began to believe God, they began to believe that He could do what He came to do, and He did. And He still is, but only when we trust and follow Him by faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, "And without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him." Impossible. No matter who stands up here Sunday after Sunday. Pastors and preachers are just a vessel. Some God has gifted to speak great words. Scripture. Others are stutterers. Some don't life and the application of Scripture. God has given to all kind of preachers, all different kind of things. Others are able to expound. Preachers is not where the power of
God has given.
It lies in the hearts, in the lives of His people.
Power of God,
by the whole power of the Holy Spirit, and the only way this church will move forward under any leadership
by the
is
power
that if you
of
believe
the
God.
This church will move forward.
Hebrews 11:6 again. Without faith,
is that
it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him.
In his comes to God,
in his book Faith Crisis, which is this book I have up here,
and those who seek.
Challenge you if you've never read this book. Get
in
John Dunn's book on
this book I have up here,
and I would transform your life
if you've never read this.
But
book,
Ron Dunn says not only
title
are we
crisis,
saved,
it will
faith. We live by faith.
But in this book, Ron commences
not
with
only
faith,
are we saved through faith,
same way.
We live by faith. Salvation commences
we
with
it.
Faith and continues the same
Romans
way.
Is about, right?
We live the life
faith
the way
it's
we
about.
It. And that's what the whole book of Romans is about, right? It's about justification by faith. And it's
you
about
get saved and you
living the same. Because you don't get saved and then start living another way. You get saved and you live each and every moment by faith. You have to trust. You have to surrender to God moment by moment and trust Him daily, second by second. You have to trust and believe God. Ron goes on in this book to point out some key things about our faith and why it's so heavily on Him. Normally I don't do this. Normally I'd write all of my own stuff, but I'm going to lean heavily on Him for a couple of points here. Because it is
very good, and He is an awesome writer, and He is.
It says men are lost, not the tremendous man of God. He says men are lost not because they lie and steal. We discussed that a while back. You know, we're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. That makes sense. We do what we do. The things we do every day, that's not the things that are going to send us to hell. Being born a sinner will send us to hell. We do those things daily because we were born that way. And Christ is the solution. But he says, I'll read it to you again. He says, men are not lost. Men and women are lost not because they lie and steal, but because they refuse to believe God. Unbelief tied the hands of Jesus in his hometown and robbed many needy people of his gracious help. If you read the Gospels, you see over and over and over again where Jesus talks about unbelief, and that's the only thing that can keep a man or woman out. You know, that's the only thing that a person can do that will keep them from heaven. Surely, is unbelief. It's the only thing God can't overcome because He's not going to force Himself on you.
But
just like it takes faith, believing faith to be saved, it takes believing faith to please God and to do His will. Ron goes on, he says, success in the Christian life is measured by faith. Always, the word of Jesus is, it shall be done to you according to your faith. And that's Matthew 9:29. The verse I just read to you, Hebrews 11:6, it is by faith that we please God. Do you hear me? You cannot please God all the time, though.
It's human power. Nature, right?
But God understands that as well.
But
try to do it all the time, though.
It's human nature, right?
But God understands that as well.
But
you'll never please God except by faith.
You know, the writer of Hebrews, he don't say without faith it is difficult to please God.
He says it's impossible.
Impossible.
It's also by faith that the things possible to God become possible to man. See, there's a lot of things in this life that we can't do on our own and that are, it seem impossible to us. But Matthew 19:26 says, with God all things are possible.
Mark 9:23 says, all things are possible to him who believes.
It is also by faith that we overcome the world. 1 John 5:4, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith.
See, the faith is our part.
God can do all the rest, but we got to trust him.
We have to believe in him.
See, the Holy Spirit, our lack of faith is what ties the hands of the Holy Spirit in our life. If you want to know why the Holy Spirit's not working in your life at times, it's because you don't have faith.
Because you and I don't have faith.
It's also by faith that we resist the devil.
1 Peter 5:9 says, but resist him, the devil, firm in your faith.
It is also by faith that we conquer the problems of life.
Mark 11:23 says, truly I say to you, whosoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him.
Think God's in the business of answering our prayers of faith?
Yeah.
It's also by faith that we are made secure in our faith.
1 Peter 1:5 says, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time.
Talking about Jesus coming back, Lord of Lords, King of Kings. How do we get there?
How do we get there?
By faith. The same way we started the trip is the same way we finished the trip.
It's also by faith, you know, we've been talking about God's will. It's also by faith that we receive all that God has promised us.
See, God's promised us a lot of things.
There's a ton of stuff, and if you don't know the promises of God, I'm not going to tell you
because you won't remember it if I tell you.
If you'll go read it, though, you'll be blown away at all the things God has promised you.
How do we receive them?
Matthew 21:22 says, and all things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive.
James 1:6-7 says, but he who must ask in faith without doubting, but he must ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord.
That's pretty clear.
So the lady who came to me and said, I don't think God's going to answer this, but I want you to pray for me anyway.
That verse says that she should not expect God to answer it.
So if you're not expecting God to answer it, then why ask it?
He finishes up this thought about the things that we do by faith by saying faith is the channel through which all that God has promised becomes ours.
Listen to this little phrase, and you may want to write this down.
He says, through faith, the blessings promised become the blessings possessed.
I'll say it again. Through faith, the blessings promised become the blessings possessed.
See, God's not going to force his blessing on you, but it's yours already.
All you have to do is claim it.
Hebrews 11:32-34 says, and what more shall I say? This is, you remember, Hebrews chapter 11 is what? It's the faith chapter. It's the great faith chapter in the Bible. It talks about by faith Abraham, by faith Moses and David and all the different people. And then he sort of summarizes and makes us realize how much God does through faith. In verses 32 and 34, or 32, 33 and 34 in Hebrews 11, he says, and what more shall I say? for time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who by faith, what they do? Conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. I just want him to bless my business. I just want him to bless my family. But what the writer of Hebrews says, that is so small thinking. God wants to, He wants to win the battles in your life. He wants to conquer your flesh. He wants to do all. He's already done all that. It says, by faith they conquered kingdoms. We're talking about God doing things that are beyond our imagination. And if He can do all those things, what the point the writer of Hebrews is making, if God can do all those things, don't you think that the words of Jesus when He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, were true? Don't you think He said that if I clothe the grass of the field, why worry? See, all that we talked about recently relates to how God wants to use us to love people and then use that love to draw them into a relationship with Him. Remember that all peoples may know Him, but it's only possible as we believe Him. In the book of Acts, as you've been reading, I hope, in Acts 3, verses 4 to 7, Peter and John are walking into the temple one day. Y'all remember the story? They're walking into the temple, and there's this guy begging off to the side. What does he do? He cries out for help. Peter stops, looks at him, and says, silver and gold, I don't have any. But such as I have, in other words, I ain't got money. But I got something better than money, and I give it to you. In the name of Jesus, rise. And what did the man do? How did he do it? Verse 5 of Acts 3, it says, and he began to give him his attention, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, walk. And did he just turn and walk away? This is important. This is what I'm talking about your faith has to be active. You have to have active faith. Peter said, I don't have money, but I can introduce you to somebody who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns the whole world. He's the creator, and he can heal you. And he doesn't just walk away. He doesn't say, well, pray for you. That's our answer in the church, right? Somebody says, I'm sick, or this is going on. Oh, we pray for you. Not what Peter did. He said, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And then the Bible says he seized him by the hand and he picked him up. That's what it says. It says, and seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened. See, our faith has to come out. It cannot be just an inner belief. It has to eventually come out in order for God to use it. Peter said, I've got words to give you, and I'll give you my hand. God used that act to put that man on his feet. The people were amazed, and everybody starts following them. The whole crowd starts following him, and this is what Peter said, and this is what I want you to hear. Acts 3, verses 11 through 16, it says, while he was still clinging to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them at the so-called portico of Solomon, full of amazement. But listen to what Peter did whenever these people, because remember I just said a while ago, you can't follow a man. It doesn't matter who stands here because the power of God is not in a man. Peter, this the same thing was happening here. It says, when Peter saw this, he replied to the people, men of Israel, why are you amazed at this? Or why do you gaze at us as if by our own power or piety we have made him to walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus, the one whom you delivered and disowned in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you disowned the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, but put to death the Prince of Life, the one whom God raised from the dead, a fact of which we are witnesses. And on this, and on the basis of what? Faith in his name. It is the name of Jesus which has strengthened this man whom you see and know, and the faith which comes through him has has given him this perfect health in the presence of you all by faith. By faith. God can do anything he wants to. He can do a whole lot of what you want him to. But you must have faith. And you must allow that faith to travel to your hands and your feet and your mouth and your wallet. I beseech you therefore, brethren, that you present what? Your bodies. A living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable act of worship. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye renewed by what? Say that again. Renewing of your mind. How do you do that? Word of God. It's the opportunity to be useful to God. The point in all this is simply this. Your church, Herman Baptist, has the opportunity to be useful to God. Might be a big church that builds big buildings. Might be a church that stays the same size it is. Hopefully not, because the only way it should stay the same size is if you're getting about 10 saved a month and about 10 are going out to plant churches. That's the only way a church should ever stay the same. If one gets saved, then send somebody out. One gets saved, send somebody out. Go into all the world, make disciples, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. This does not come through a man. It does not come through a person. It does not come through you. It doesn't come through me. It doesn't come through your pastor. It doesn't come through anybody. It comes by faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that brings you to salvation. And it's that same faith that you live day by day. You see, next Sunday, this church will make a decision about the future as you decide on your next pastor. But keep this in mind. The blessings of God are not in the hands of a man. They are in his hands. And they only come by faith. So as you move into the next chapter of Herman Baptist's story, don't ever forget that every decision made and every endeavor that is attempted rests not on the pastor you choose, but on whether or not you will make the conscious decision, yes, you, make the conscious decision to believe that God will do what He said. But only if we choose to trust Him fully with both the labor and the outcome. Let's pray. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that we can trust you. Absolutely. God, I know there's times in these human bodies, and I've lived it. In these 24 years that I've been saved, there's probably been more times that I didn't believe you than when I did. God, I know that you know my weakness and you know the weakness of every human that's ever lived on this planet, and that's why you sent your Son to die for us. That's why you did the work that we could not do. And God, you took your Son and you nailed him to my cross and our cross, and you allowed him to die so that I could be what I could never be on my own, and that is a child of God, righteous, holy, clothed in a pure white robe, and that I'll spend eternity worshiping you. But it's only by faith. Same faith that saved Abraham is the same faith that saved me, and it's the same faith that will save the people in the community of Waxhaw and Lancaster. And God, we can't do it without you. This church cannot do it without you. So I'm begging you, oh God, come down with your Holy Spirit in the coming days and fill this church up and fill every believer up and bring them to their knees and surrender as their new pastor comes in and submits to you, that they would be able to follow him. God, I pray that you would grant a hedge of protection around him and his family and this church. And I pray, God, that you would do something special. And I pray, God, that it would not be for the glory of him or the glory of this church, but, God, that you would be glorified and honored. And what would be said about Herman Baptist in the coming years would be that that's a place where God is. We don't need more men, and we don't need more buildings, and we don't need more of anything in order to please you, God. Help us to remember that it is by faith that you can change our lives and you can use our lives to change the lives of other people. But it'll only happen when we believe it will. And then we surrender ourselves to you. God, help us to be surrendered in heart and mind and will.
Hey, I don't know,
and there's one in everything that we are. God, I don't know what you need to do in the hearts of people today. I don't know. If there's one here, God, that's not saved, God, we beg you, bring them to saving faith in you, because nothing else matters other than that. God, I pray that this church would become the shining light, that it would continue to grow, and that it would be a light in this community where people know that they can come when they need to be loved. Let it be known as a place, God, where they can come and not be judged for who they are, but can be loved for what you know they are and what you can do in their lives and in their heart. Help us, Lord. If there's somebody needs to come down and just pray this morning and that fall on their face before you, Lord, and just seek you and seek the direction for this church, God, I pray that you would grant it.